Well, guys, we're in a series called Jonah, and we're studying the book of Jonah. And let me kind of recap what we're doing so far. And there are four things. There are four chapters, and this is the way to remember it. The first one is God gives the message to Jonah, right, and says that you need to do this. But Jonah says no, so Jonah flees. F-L-E-E, not F-L-E-A, okay? Jonah flees. So flee is the first one. And then the second one, we see that they throw him overboard after a huge delay. They throw him overboard, the storm stops, and a big fish swallows him. So you got flee and you got fish. So flee and fish. Chapter 2 was all in the fish. It's Jonah's prayer. And Jonah realizes this isn't good. He prays to God and says, look, I will do what I vowed to you to do. And so we see that the fish vomits him out on the land, and that's where we're going to pick out today, where he goes into the next section, chapter 3, which is preach. So we got flee, fish, and preach. And then we'll pick up in chapter 4, which is pout. He pouts because they all repent. So that's a spoiler alert for those of you waiting to see what happened to Nineveh. But he pouts because they gave themselves over to God. So here's the way to remember: flee, fish, preach, pout. Kind of like what I do. I flee, go fishing, I preach, and then I go home and pout, you know. Kidding. So recap, the word of the Lord starts in verse 1 in chapter 1, comes to Jonah, son of Amittai, and he says, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. In other words, here's what I want you to do, Jonah. Jonah says, no. Jonah flees. He gets on a boat heading to Tarshish, which is going to take him to Spain, all the way from Joppa to Spain across the Mediterranean, as far away from Nineveh as he could possibly get. Okay? Now, something that maybe, I don't know, this is one of the things that interests me and maybe Donald and nobody else. But, so Donald, this is for you. The God that they worshipped in Nineveh was Dagon. Dagon was half man and half fish. And so they worshipped this god, Dagon. So it's kind of awesome that God uses a fish to swallow Jonah. So Jonah is vomited out on the land. He comes out. He's probably turned completely white from all of the stomach acid of the fish. And these people believe in kind of a fish god. So here's a man that comes out of a fish looking like he's been in a fish, and he goes, repent. Now, what are you going to do? So God is working all the way through this. So Donald, that was a kind of a cool little thing. Most people are like, okay, who cares? But I do. All right, so here we go. Let's start in Jonah chapter 3, and I'm going to start in verse 1, and we're going to see one of the most beautiful pictures of grace. And this is what he says in verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. Same thing that he says in chapter 1. Okay, what I want you to do is I want you to go to Nineveh. But here's what it says, a couple of words here. The word, Dabar, comes to the Lord, Yahweh, came to Jonah a second time. And the word for the second time is shenit. Shenit. The Hebrew word is shenit. A lot of people don't give people a second chance. In other words, you mess with me and you cross that line that first time, I write you off. God, the God we serve, is a God of second chances. God spoke to Jonah again and says a second time, go and do this. In other words, I'm giving you a second opportunity. Our God is a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances. He continues to pursue us. There are those of you maybe who have never really surrendered your life fully to God. You've kind of played with the idea of, yeah, you know, I know there's a God. Maybe, you know, I'll give lip service, or, you know, I'm not all in yet, right? But God is going to continue to pursue you. You are still going to feel restless in your spirit. I think about an Etch-a-Sketch. Y'all remember what the Etch-a-Sketch is? You know what I'm talking about? In Alabama, they call it a computer. And so anyway, you could draw a picture, you could do something with it, you know. But if you make a mistake, what do? You shake it, and guess what happens? It disappears. That's what God does with us. We hold on to these things that we say. We hold on to these things that we do. But God is a God of second chances. And what he does, he takes our lives, he shakes it, and it starts with a clean slate. That's the God we serve. Verse 2, arise, he's what he says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. Two words, quam yalach. It means go, but it doesn't mean just go. It means go now. Go immediately. In other words, God is telling Noah, look, you've wasted enough of my time with this. Go and do what I told you to do. Go now. Quam yalach. Go suddenly. Go now. Go urgently. Pray for them now. Call them now. How many times in our life we feel a stirring in our spirit and someone comes to mind and we think like, you know what? I need to send that person a message. Or, man, I need to give that guy a call. How many times have we been stopped on the street by somebody that unloads on us what's going on in their lives? And we say, you know what? I'll pray for you. Do it now. If someone is on your mind, don't call. Don't wait till the service is over, then call. But if someone is coming to your mind, chances are the Holy Spirit is beginning to say, like, maybe you need to reach out to this person. Maybe you need to say something. Maybe you need to touch base with this person. Maybe this person's on your mind, and the minute you call them, you find out that they're like, I was at the end of my rope. I didn't know what to do. Thank you so much for calling. That's happened in my life, and I bet it's happened in your life. Go immediately. Quam yalach. Verse 3. Jonah gets it right. Let's see what it says. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Remember, we talked about it. It was as big as 285, okay? All the way around 285. That's the city of Nineveh. So if you started in Nineveh and you wanted to walk to the other end of Nineveh, it would take you 3 days to get there. Huge, huge city. And he says this, go and do this. And Jonah did. He obeyed the word of the Lord. Skip down to verse 4 and check this out. The Bible says, Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. In other words, he began to go into the city. What does that mean? Well, I got another word for you. Chalabo. Chalabo. He started. Very literally in the Hebrew language, it means to untie or loosen. In other words, what you need to do is you need to get ready to go. Do you remember the one verse that I talked about last week that I said was so important? Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. That's verse 8, chapter 2. Okay? Chalabo, you've got to let go of what you're clinging to begin to do what God has asked you to do. What are you holding on to? It could be maybe self-image. It could be, I don't know what to say. How many of us, when we say, okay, we've got to go and make disciples, we've got to share our testimony. Well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know enough about the Bible. You know, they're going to ask me a question. I don't know. Just go. Go. Let go of your fear. Let go of your anxiety. Let go of the things in your life that you are clinging to that are worthless. And that's what he did. In order to start in the direction that God wanted him to go, he had to release that what he was holding on to. What was Jonah holding on to? First off, he hated the Ninevites. He wanted them destroyed. They were the most ruthless people on the planet. And he wanted them to get their upcomings, whatever the word is, upance. comeuppance. Comeuppance. He wanted them to be hurt. He had to let that go. He had to let go of the things that he was thinking. And some of you have got the chalabo. You're going to have to untie yourself, unravel yourself, let go of something that you think you can do and you can't, and only God can do it, and God has called you to do something. I don't know what it is for you. But he tells Jonah to go and preach. And so Jonah preaches. So here's what he says. Jonah began to go into the city for a day's journey, and he called out. Here's what he preached, 8 words. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's it. End of sermon, take up the offering, sit down, and they're gone. Okay? 8 words, but only 5 in the Hebrew language. The message was short, it was direct, and the message was offensive. And I think preachers today and our churches today, we need to be short, we need to be direct, and we need to be offensive. We don't need to say things just to make you feel good. We need to preach God's word. In 40 days, you will be overthrown. You will be overturned. The word is nepaket or hippok. Hippok. And the word means it could be overturned or and destroyed, or it can also mean overturned and changed. In other words, God's saying, okay, here's the thing. Here's what I want you to preach. He preaches it. 40 days and you will be overthrown. So God is telling the Ninevites through this message that in 40 days, you're either going to be destroyed or in 40 days, you are going to be changed. You have to decide what's it going to be. Verse 5, I love this. Look at this. And the people of Nineveh believed who? God. Not Jonah. They believed God. Okay, first off, it's spoken by a guy who came out of a fish. We kind of worship a fish god. Okay, we're going to listen to what this guy says, and he says, God says, 40 days, and you will be destroyed. You will be overturned. You will be changed. What you have to decide. They're listening to the man, but they don't believe him. They believe God. 40 days, verses 6 through 9. Let's go through there. The word reached the king of Nineveh. Well, wait a minute. First off, the people of Nineveh believed God that called for a fast. Okay? We need to get right. We're going to take a fast. We're going to sit in sackcloth, which was made out of camel hair. It was real rough, kind of like burlap. And we're going to sit in dust. And it says, from the greatest of them to the least of them. So, verses 6 through 9, the word reached the king of Nineveh, the king of this mighty empire, right? And he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. In other words, I am humbling myself before this almighty God. And he issued a proclamation and published it through Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. In other words, you don't eat, and your kids don't eat, and your animals don't eat. Nobody. Nobody eats. Nobody drinks. Look at this. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. In other words, those of you with cats and dogs, and you put those like cute little things on them and say like, ooh, my pet. No, you're putting them in sackcloth and not feeding them. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. And then verse 9, who knows? Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. Everyone is fasting. Everyone is repenting. They repent from their wicked ways, their evil ways, their selfishness, their self-centeredness. What do we have to repent from? Our ungodliness, our self-centeredness, our self-centeredness. Materialistic drive. What is it in our lives that we need to sit down in ashes and humble ourselves before a holy God and say, God, forgive us. They humbled themselves. I wish our church and our country and the people that call themselves Christ followers, I wish we could hear this and be different. That we would feel a need to say, you know what? God is God. Verse 7, the king issues the thing. He raises a standard. Put the sackcloth on the animals. Everybody is fasting. No one's eating. No one's drinking. We are turning because who knows? God may then hear us and then may relent from what he says he will do. Either Jesus, listen to me, either Jesus is who he says he is, or it's just all a big joke. And if he is who he says he is, which he is the Lord of all, we should take up our crosses and we should follow him. Jonah preaches the Ninevites, the people who were the farthest people from God at the time, said, hey, we're going to turn to God. From the king down to the animals. And in verse 10, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. You talk about the mercy and the grace of a God. The most vile, evil person. You think, well, God won't love me because look at what I've done in my life. There is no way you were as vile or as dirty as the Ninevites. Not even close. And yet God forgave them. It's the same God that looked at the world while we were so far from him and loved us so much that he sent Jesus to be brutally murdered for us so that we could stand before him as righteous. Jonah preaches God's word, and the Ninevites, the people, turned to God. They repent, but if you study history, it didn't last very long. Didn't last long at all. In fact, if you just turn over a couple chapters to the book of Nahum, you will find out that he completely destroys Nineveh. It's rather short-lived, but here we see the grace of God. We see it in two places. Number one, Jonah. Here's a man that was called to be a prophet of God, that spoke for God, that listened to God, heard God's voice, did what God asked him to do, and yet he chose to run his own way, and God gave him the shenit, that gave him that second chance. Some of us, we've been running from God. And today we need that shanit. We need that second chance, that next opportunity. And we also see his mercy and grace over a bunch of people. A bunch of people that didn't know him, that didn't love him, that were brutal, that were evil, and yet they turned and gave themselves to God. When they saw what they did, God had compassion, and he did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. God gave them the second chance, and he is giving each of us a second chance. So what are you going to do with that? The ball is in your court. There'll always be a ship ready to take you to Tarsus. But God is still going to pursue. Father, I just ask that you would forgive us of our complacency, of apathy, self-centeredness. And God, that we as your people would repent of all our sin and that you would break our heart. That God, you would give us a fire and a passion to be Jesus in this world, to love others even when they don't love us. Father, I pray that you would just spiritually stir us up. Father, forgive us of our sins. And Father, forgive us as a church for the things that we failed to do. And Father, I pray that you would just help us to let go of anything that is keeping us from doing everything that you have called us to do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.